for example, or a Hewlett-Packard. What we settled on was a configuration, and any vendor that can supply us that configuration is eligible to participate. And we have, what, Brenda, maybe 8 or 10 computer companies under contract. So we don't limit choice in terms of vendors, so that for maintenance purposes and so forth, if a school district or an entity wants to keep Hewlett-Packard consistency amongst their office, they have that choice. Okay. I think with that, I'd like to turn this table over to Steve Girton from Department of Transportation.
Welcome to the committee. If you would identify yourself, please, for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Steve Girton. I work with DOT. Last week, I was with DNR as their material supervisor and have been involved in purchasing for nearly 30 years. The thing that I've noticed from the drive to excellence that benefited the agencies, and not just DNR, was the participation on these committees, such as for the multi-functional devices, whether it be the hardware contracts. These contracts are very beneficial to agencies in that they leverage dollars that an agency, even of DNR size, could never have that kind of volume. And when we partner with admin and set these standards, we're able to leverage better pricing than we've ever seen. And that savings is going back to the agency for it can be used for its mission as well, instead of just putting it into IT equipment or printers or copiers, we're getting more bang for the buck than we've ever seen. And then another program that admin heads up is the purchasing card program. And DNR currently has a little over 1,800 people that have a purchasing card assigned to them. And with U.S. Bank, administration had negotiated a rebate. And we're starting to see that continuously go up. It was a few thousand the first quarter, and we're up to about 6,000 a quarter now that's going back into the agency from the use of this card. So there's been a lot of benefits in the drive to excellence for at least DNR, and I'm sure other agencies as well.
Thank you, Mr. Girton. Are there questions or comments for him? Thank you.
Clearly, Madam Chair and members, the strategic sourcing piece of DRIVE is the most visible. It's the most visible to all agencies because they're all reaping the benefits of it. It's also obviously the most productive. So thank you all. I'm going to ask our lean participants to come up.
Okay.
All of the remaining projects do indeed often have as their goal of cost savings, but unfortunately, because these are process improvements, they are long duration to take effect. And so we are not really able to report definitive cost savings with respect to some of these other projects. But here's one where we can really report some dramatic results, and that's with this adoption of the Toyota Production Method, or lean manufacturing, throughout state government. Not quite a year ago, we established this project under DRIVE, and we had the goal of adopting a method for continuous improvement across, well, we shot high. We thought maybe 6 agencies in the first 6 months. So we launched it about a year ago, and it has been wildly successful to the point that now we all but 3 agencies are participating to some degree or another. And I have with me Tom Bauman, who is our single employee for DRIVE, our project leader, and I have Annie Tiedema from the Department of Employment and Economic Development, who will tell you about her experiences with Lean. But before we do, just let me quickly explain what Lean is about. It's looking for waste. Now, you know, we know that every single process has waste. Every process, it doesn't matter what it is, has waste in it somewhere. There's duplicative activity. There's activity that does not add value. There's waiting time. Time is money, for sure. And so this process actually is a simple way of looking at how we do our business down to the very low-level working level, and it takes the process apart in what we call a Kaizen event. And Kaizen is Japanese for continuous improvement. And in these Kaizen events, we've now trained facilitators throughout state government. Let's see, how many facilitators do we have? I think we have 87 trained facilitators throughout state government. And the one chart shows you how quickly we've gotten participation. Right now it shows as of December we were up to 18 agencies, mm-hmm. and we have more that are in the incubation box.
What about that chart or that or photo or whatever it
it's
is.
It's not very good, is it?
On 12, on the 12, on page 12 of the handout?
Yes.
What is where that? It says before lean and after lean, before lean and after lean what?
Well, it's taking a process. What we do is we get the team who actually owns the process, the people who really do the work. Mm-hmm. You take them out of the workplace and set them in a conference room for 3 or 4 days. And you have them map the process, and they usually use Post-it notes. And so what you see in the first picture is convoluted all over the page. Sometimes it goes all the way around the room, showing a process, like getting a duplicate birth certificate or issuing a driver's license.
Oh, I
and
see.
Those are all steps. And there's sometimes cycle back steps because it's got to go back over here again for an approval. And it's actually an interesting, sometimes we call them spaghetti
diagrams. So this is one process.
It's one process.
That the after lean shows
the elimination.
What it looks like now.
Exactly.
I see.
And I think we can give you a...
Very dramatic.
It is incredibly dramatic. And some of the, if you go to chart 15, for example, I mentioned birth certificates. The Department of Health improved their processing time for getting you a duplicate birth certificate. If you need a passport, you need it fast. They improved their processing time 80%. Veterans benefits improved the processing time by 50%, cut out half of the time and effort involved in getting veterans benefits. Department of Human Services with health care premiums, the collection of those premiums, that process has been reduced 89%. Now, we go into these projects with the hope that maybe we'll get 30, 40, if we're lucky, 50%. And what we're finding is that when you really take the process apart and look at it carefully, it is not uncommon to get 70 and 80%. So the commissioners who have now embraced this are obviously finding very quick and dramatic results. Joan Fabian, for example, at Corrections, is a huge proponent and is using lean for things like prisoner movement and feeding schedules and all kinds of other things about prison operations, which readily lend themselves to this lean process. So there's still much more to come. Obviously, you notice Grants Administration, we had a process at the Department of Vehicle Services.
Madam Chair.
Excuse me, Commissioner. Senator Morty.
Commissioner, when you were talking about Commissioner Fabian in the Department of Corrections, either the feeding schedule or moving schedule, could you give just a one-minute explanation how the lean process works with one of those?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll ask Mr. Bauman to do that.
Good
Please,
afternoon,
to
Madam
committee.
Chair. Senator Marty, we actually
– yeah.
Oh, my name is Tom Bauman. I'm the lean program leader for the state of Minnesota. And what we did, we actually went to the Rush City Prison, and we put together a team of people that worked in the prison, and they went through a very methodical, almost excruciating detail to look at the process they use for moving the inmates around from facilities and identified places where they were conflicting, where they were actually crossing paths. And, of course, when you have inmates crossing paths, that can be problematic. And so they went through it was a four-day event with this group and actually came up with a brand-new process for moving inmates and to schedule them so that their feeding times, the time that they ate and the time they had for recreation were all coordinated so that they minimized this sort of disruption that they ran into.
Thank you. In our own department, we've obviously we have a number of processes that we've worked on as well. And for example, surplusing a vehicle, we've taken four handoffs out of that process, four handoffs and approval cycles. The one that I like to mention because I think it hits home, and I may have mentioned this in a previous committee, but so I apologize for the repetition. But the Vets Home in Minneapolis has used, and they are a very strong user of lean. They have used it to better develop their process for dispensing medication so that it becomes foolproof and that the right patient gets the medication, right medication at the right time.
Senator Bickerman.
Just for my information, that's 50% faster, and the request for assistance is 50% faster. What's your goal, 75% faster? I'd like it to be faster than 50%.
Madam Chair, Senator Vickerman, the goal going in was to reduce it by 30%, and the team was able to reduce it by 50%. Of course, there is this particular process has involves the county veteran service officers as well, and there's always a bit of lag time for the information to come in from the county to the state, but they were able to attack that handoff and those relationships and make it easier and more clear to the veteran service officers at the county level to speed that up. And so As Commissioner Badgerow said, this is all about continuous improvement. So this doesn't mean the process improvement has ended. It means that we've taken a big step forward, but we will come back a year or two from now and try to make it work even more efficiently.
Well, Madam Chair, that's my concern. I want it to move up, not just set on the 50%.
Madam Chair and members, it brings up another point, which is that oftentimes these processes cut across agencies. And we've been extremely successful at getting the people from other agencies, including the counties, who are involved in these processes to participate in these Kaizen events. So we're not just admiring a problem amongst ourselves. We're actually bringing in the people who actually touch the process and involving them in the improvement as well. So I think I've said we've got 18, as of December, agencies. We've got 87 facilitators. We have so far involved 302 people in various lean events, and it is taking off exponentially. I would guess if I come here a year from now, I probably wouldn't be able to actually go through all of the wonderful results. We do have a lean website, and all of the results are reported, sometimes with dramatic pictures that you can see. So we encourage you to take a look at that website.
Okay, Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair and Commissioner Badgerow, is this process something that's kind of applicable in a lot of different situations? Like, would it be applicable, for example, in a higher ed situation, you think?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair and Senator Pappas, excellent point. In fact, we are collaborating with the University of Minnesota, who is kind of at the front end of their own lean process, and we think there's a tremendous opportunity for us to share our learnings. Several MinSCU participants have gone through our training as well. Any process, it doesn't matter what the process. Originally, it was thought that this was pretty much limited to the production floor, to manufacturing processes. And over the last 10 years or so, it has been brought into the office, and it allows me to make a plug here. Surprise to us, we were actually named by Minnesota Technology Magazine as one of the 10 best manufacturing improvements in the state this last year. Wait a minute. But we were given this award. We didn't apply for it, but for the best non-manufacturing application of lean in the state. So we're very proud. We are among the few states who are actually applying this. Iowa started a little before us, but we've well surpassed them by now in terms of the level of our activity. So we're also working with other states to make sure that we're learning what they're doing and so forth.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
You know, I had the opportunity to see this in this process sort of in action because DEED offers this to area businesses. And I think they pay half the cost, and DEED gives a grant for half the cost to bring these LEED certified instructors in. And they take employee groups through this process so that they can streamline the processes in their businesses. And a business in Jordan took them up on it, and they really feel that they they improved and streamlined their manufacturing process, which is saving them a lot of money and allows them to further expand. And it was good to see that, you know, DEED was encouraging that type of efficiency and economic development because the businesses were reinvesting their savings back into their operations.
Madam Chair, that's a perfect lead-in for let me introduce our next presenter.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
Yes, my name is Annie Tiedema, and I am a principal planner for the Dislocated Worker Program at DEED. And it is with pleasure that I'm here today. Thank you for the invitation to speak, Madam Chair and Senators. I just want to share with you what our experience has been at DEED with LEAN. I serve on the LEAN steering team, so I represent DEED on the LEAN steering team. There are several agencies, I believe now 10, that sit on that steering team. And those meetings have been very valuable as we've been able to sit together as agencies and talk about how LEAN affects the work that we do, what work we're currently doing, where LEAN could be implemented, and learn from each other. I can give you an example of that in a little bit. But really what first I want to say to you is what LEAN means to DEED. I'm sure that you've heard that we are experiencing a lot of demand for our services right now as a result of what's happened to our economy. I think that UI, unemployment insurance, is one of those areas. So things like LEAN are really important to us to be able to consider how we're going to maintain a quality customer service and responsiveness to our customers, and yet we're not maybe going to be able to hire extra people. We have to do more with less. And so in order to be successful in that endeavor, we have to take a look at our processes and say, are these as efficient as they can be? And so we've been using lean tools to look at everything that we're doing and to ask ourselves the question, is everything that we're doing, is it value added for our customer? Are we really producing the services that our customers want? The taxpayers, what can we do to assist them as we make it through this economic situation we're in right now? And so to that end, we've done some Kaizen events, those continuous improvement events. We've had several at Deed already. You'll see that there's four on the chart there. And I'd like to talk to you quickly about a few of those. For example, our fiscal department took a look at their professional technical contracts, and they were able to reduce the process to secure a professional technical contract from 41 days to 28 days, which is a 33% improvement. And what we discovered in looking at that process, I audited the class. I just sort of came in and watched what they were doing. It was very interesting. They were mapping the process like you saw on the slide with all the post-it notes, is that they discovered that a lot of the internal users of the process did not have any idea how to initiate. So there was a lot of misinformation, not sure where to go for the right information. And so one of the things that typically does come out of a Kaizen event is a recognition where communication is an issue and where staff don't always have all the necessary information so that we don't have a standardized process. So that was something that came out of that. Also, they worked with admin and OET, because a lot of times the functions that we serve at agencies definitely cross agency lines. And one thing I've realized in my time with state government is that sometimes we're not really sure what other agencies are doing. And so if we can find a way to bridge that, to start that conversation and learn what efficiencies they have, and also where we can work together to make processes quicker, to make the customer happy, then we should do that. And so this was an event that allowed us to work with OET and admin to improve the way that we work with them on professional technical contracts. Also, workforce development, where I come from the Dislocated Worker Program, we took a look at what it takes to move a workforce center. You know that we have 47 workforce centers in Minnesota, and we do from time to time need to find a new facility for a workforce center, maybe because the space is no longer sufficient or because it's not close enough to a bus line or many other reasons. And so we took a look at that process, and we were able to reduce the delays by 66%, and the tasks that were involved in the process by 78%, taking the process from 6 months to two to move a workforce center, which is pretty dramatic. And also, we have planned next week, and I think this one is probably going to get some coverage, is our hiring process. We're going to be taking a look at that at Deed. DNR has done this as well. And that's the neat part, is that serving on this committee gives me an opportunity to learn what did they discover when they looked at their hiring process. So where could we find some efficiencies looking at our own at Deed? And so we have a team put together, and we're going to do that next week. We also have a Kaizen event scheduled to take a look at our publication process for a publication you may be familiar with called Minnesota Economic Trends. You may have noticed that this doesn't necessarily come out on a typical schedule. It's not quarterly. Sometimes it's erratic. And so we're going to be looking at a way to make sure that this is coming out at an equal interval and that the process is shorter than it is. So we set forth some goals on that. We've also done some process mapping. We've taken a look at our mass layoff response, which was my team actually that did that. And we've also looked at UI staff customer response to emails. And that one's huge right now, because we're getting a lot of emails with questions about unemployment insurance. So in general, I think that lean is absolutely essential to state work. Being a state employee, I'm extremely proud to serve the people of Minnesota, and I want to make sure that we're doing that in a way that is efficient, and we're using the resources that we have very well so that we can stand there and say that they have the best government, the government that they deserve. And so I really hope that you'll continue to support these efforts, because it is for us at Deed a beacon of hope in somewhat of the darkness that we see around ourselves. honestly. You know, it's a tool. It's a way to make things better. Instead of looking at what we don't have, to flip it on the other side and say, but this is a tool that we can use to improve our processes to be better. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. I understand that a constituent of mine called last week with an issue with unemployment, and it was resolved within a day. So that's like very nice. I do have a question about the process. When you're identifying discrete events in some sort of process and you're looking for ways of eliminating 10 events out of 30, how do you maintain when you get down to the 20 events that you haven't just combined an event rather than keeping it discreet and separate?
Well, Madam Chair, I would say actually combination of events is really not bad. In fact, sometimes that is what happens. You have duplicative efforts and you can unify them. But the real important point with Lean is that you are looking at everything from the vantage point of the customer. Mm-hmm. If the activity serves the customer, then you keep that activity. Now, there are some waste that you have to have because it's required by statute or some kind of approval process that is absolutely essential that the customer probably doesn't care about. But other than those that are absolutely mandated, what you really want to do is eliminate any step in a process that doesn't directly benefit the customer. And a lot of this cycling back and forth and transportation of a form back down to Centennial Office Building and all kinds of things that happen in a process that are really wasteful can easily be eliminated.
Okay.
I think that if there's no other questions with Lean, I'll ask our grants
sure.
Team to come forward. And as they do, I'm bringing forward Kristen Batson, who is, again, our single employee who manages the Office of Grants Management. And she has with her Christine Keel, that some of you, I think, know, who is currently with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Let me just simply say that while this was one of the original six grants projects from 4 years ago, it took us a little while to get off the ground. We were aided by an Office of Legislative Auditor report in January of 07, which you may remember, which found inconsistencies in state grant-making processes, and not just inconsistencies, but some actually gaping holes. So we were able to obtain a legislative appropriation for $125,000 in 2007 to initiate the office. We were lucky to hire Kristen Batson as our director, who came to us from the nonprofit world, but having also served in state government. She's been working on the office since September of 07, and we were not funded in the second year, but agencies felt this was so valuable that they were willing to cough up contributions to the office. So we got $5,000 here and $10,000 there, and we were able to earn enough or get enough contributions to maintain the office for the second year. I mean, the need for this is, I hope, apparent, because we have 25 cabinet-level agencies, each of whom does grants kind of in their own way. And the need for consistency and commonality across those agencies, if for no other reason than our nonprofit community sees us as a single enterprise, but for other reasons, to make the process more efficient and dependable and consistent and have business discipline, there are many, many good reasons why this office was created in statute. We have now, I think Kristen has been quite successful in issuing 11 new statewide policies on how to manage grants, things about like conflict of interest or managing your financials, making sure that there is good financial management on all the grants, having a written agreement for every grant, which, believe it or not, was not a fundamental requirement before this. Those policies are now in place. We also have a public website. So if you want a grant from the state of Minnesota but you don't happen to know which agency it might be offering that grant, you simply go and do a word search around the area in which you're seeking a grant. It will tell you the currently available grants by agency. You can also search by agency or keyword. That's the external-facing website. We also have an internal website for people who do grants, and maybe they only do one or two a year, so they're not experts. So this website works for them. Standard forms are there for them, checklists, things that will make their job easier as they do their one or two grants a year. We are also, by the statute, the first point, or Kristen is the first point of contact for members of the public who have an issue about a grant. So if they suspect some kind of fraud or abuse or improper activity in a grant, they have the ability to call Kristen, who will then work to resolve that. Kristen has also been out and about training, and she's trained 238 participants in 8 separate training sessions. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to Christine to tell us what her experience is with grants.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
Thank you. Christine Keel, Department of Veterans Affairs. And we are one of those agencies that you heard Commissioner Badgerow say we only administer one or two grants a year, and one of the two grants is automatic. We don't have an open competitive process for it. But the grant that the office stepped in and helped us with is an open competitive grant process, and our department had not had experience with that before. So we called Kristen, and she came in, and she helped us set how to give the County Veteran Service Officers reporting guidelines of outcome measures, best practices guidelines. And she also came in and helped the deciding committee and kind of guided us along in our discussions and how we make decisions. And she will be also helping us set up reporting guidelines for them to help them understand, since they also had never had a grant program that required so much work on their end, to get come in and help them understand reporting requirements and what that means. What it meant to us as a department to have her there, like I said, is just that guidance of someone who have had the experience, so we were doing things right, making sure everything was accounted for properly, and that we were meeting other state guidelines, even though it was a legislatively directed grant to County Veteran Service Officers only.
Any questions on grants?
Okay, thank you all very much.
I said this in another committee, to Senator Betzel's committee, this is the best bargain in state government. Just a couple of other projects I'll cover real quickly because I want to get to a big one that has just been initiated. And, Madam Chair, I believe I have 15 minutes left.
Members, because of the weather, we've asked the commissioner to try and get us finished here by 4:15 so that members have a decent chance of getting home before.
And Madam Chair, I'll just keep talking fast. Yeah. The real property management project is a huge project. It is taking a look at all that we own in real property and, for the first time, understanding what we own, what its condition is, what its occupancy rates are, what its preventive maintenance schedules are. We did not really have a systematic way of doing that before. Thanks to an appropriation from the legislature, we have acquired a system that we're in the process of implementing now. And that system, once it's fully implemented, will give us so much more information, particularly useful, I think, at time of capital bonding for things like CAPRA and asset preservation. We will really, for the first time, understand what we own and be able to manage it much better. E-licensing was another project that was funded by the legislature. It is now in its pilot implementation phase. Electronic licensing for occupational and business licenses is the purpose of this project. And thus far, they have now the police officers and standards board, as well as the emergency medical technicians board, are up and running. They're in kind of a pilot, not quite go-live status, but very shortly, those professions will be able to apply for and get their licenses totally online. Obviously, the goal here ultimately is to have all business and professional license and ultimately all licenses available through this particular system, a one-stop shop for all licenses. But we're in the first phases of it, and I think it's been quite successful. The next one I want to mention is one of our newest projects, and it has, I think, profound implications. I'm going to ask David Arbeit to come up. He is with our Land Management Information Center. And as he's coming up here, let me just simply say that this is one of those projects where it's like if you build it, they will come. We had a good drive project, a good process by which we were doing these improvement projects, and the GIS community from across state government and elsewhere actually came to the drive subcommittee and said, could we please have a drive to excellence project by which we look at how we manage geographic information systems across the enterprise? David?
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is David Arbeit. I direct the Office of Geographic and Demographic Analysis and also the Land Management Information Center. And I'm here to talk to you about this project that was initiated by the Drive to Excellence subcabinet in January, but it has roots that go back at least 5 years, maybe 10 years worth of groundwork that we've been doing within the community of technology folks that work with this GIS technology that you periodically hear about, either in your committees relative to the businesses that your committees are engaged in, or as consumers using Google Maps or MapQuest or things of that kind. Those are all GIS technologies. What's happened over the last 5 years is that state agencies have come to realize that we can't really develop the full potential of this technology that addresses questions about where things are, what's near the things that we care about, how do we get from one place to another place, how does a customer get to a place from one place to another place, what's impacted by an event such as a collapse of a bridge or flood. Those are all questions that actually require a technology that can think geospatially, that can actually portray not just maps, but can actually work with databases in ways that can answer questions that we need to ask, such as how do I get to a meeting using MapQuest, that sort of question. 5 years ago, the Governor's Council on Geographic Information, which is created by executive order, to advise the state about opportunities to coordinate with this technology, recommended that the creation of a state office that would have the authority and responsibility to coordinate GIS among state agencies and also to facilitate coordination statewide. There is no such entity. In its absence, the Land Management Information Center has, or LIMIC as it's known, has filled the void informally and has engaged in a number of projects that have benefited the state greatly, including the acquisition of a collaborative acquisition of ortho imagery or imagery for the entire state that's used by every county in the state right now. In 2003, that was done. In 2008, we're just releasing a new updated imagery for the entire state, color imagery that can be that you'll see eventually in places like Google Maps and Google Earth, but you'll see in applications from every state agency that is now investing in the technology. In 2004, the Governor's Council recommended that a office be created, but it took until January 2008 for it to really sort of rise to the level of importance that it now has as a endorsed enterprise GIS project for the Drive to Excellence sub-cabinet. After the endorsement of this project, we began working, extending the work that we'd already been doing with the community, and we've engaged about 300 representatives from state agencies and from local government, private sector, the educational sector around the state in a series of workshops, 20 group interviews, series of interviews, and some pretty deep analysis of opportunities in each of those agencies for benefiting from this technology, as well as an attempt to inventory for the first time what they're spending on it, what their plans are, in ways so that we are beginning to shape an understanding as to the potential for the technology and also some of the constraints. Most of the constraints have to do with the inadequacy of a formal responsibility for coordinating the technology. A consultant was engaged in April. Consultant's report is being finalized right now, and it has recommended the creation of something called the Minnesota Geospatial Information Office. It reflects trends that are things that are happening in other states around the country as they seek to better coordinate this technology that in Minnesota we are estimating is we're now spending state agencies are spending about $15 million a year on. But independently, without any formal way to coordinate that. The Drive to Excellence sub-cabinet adopted endorsed a resolution to create a Minnesota Geospatial Information Office through legislation, and draft legislation is now being prepared. The office recommendation would, in effect, take what is now currently operating as the Land Management Information Center and reallocate the resources that are currently available to it under the umbrella of a Minnesota Geographic Information Office that would report, be housed in the Department of Administration, but be delegated authority to coordinate technology by the state's chief information officer. So as I indicated, legislation, we've been authorized to begin to prepare draft legislation with the State Revisor's Office, and we're doing that now. State agency stakeholders have recommended an advisory structure, a governance structure for it that would engage both state agencies and stakeholders around the state. And we are looking forward to bringing forward more details to you as the legislative session unfolds. The benefits, I think, will be quite significant. We estimate a return on investment in the order of 2 to 3 to 1 over the next 3 biennial cycles. And we're already working in anticipation of the office on at least one major initiative that would, we think, reduce the cost of software licensing for GIS software by several hundred thousand dollars a year to the state.
Any questions on GIS? David reminds me that I should mention that each of these projects is not a Department of Administration project. In this particular case, they all have executive sponsors. In this particular case, Commissioner Gene Hugeson is the executive sponsor, having just recently replaced Commissioner Brad Moore from PCA, who was, until he left state government, the commission. So each of these projects, the one I'm about to talk about, fleet management, thank you, David, is actually championed by Michael Campion from the Department of Public Safety. And this is looking at our fleet as a single fleet, as opposed to 5 discrete, separately managed fleets. And I think I'll just kind of cut to the chase here and simply say that really the goal here is to better manage the cars that we own, better manage them in terms of fuel utilization, obviously cost, and whether or not we need the cars at all. And in fact, now that we've put a system in place, we understand how cars are being driven, and we're able to actually look at cars that are vastly underutilized, and agencies are removing those from the fleet and surplusing them, or now more than likely assigning them to another agency who needs them more. I don't think I need to spend much time on the MAPS system. I think we all understand that our accounting and procurement system is ancient and badly in need of replacement. The initial cost last year was $52.5 million. I understand that the current cost estimate to replace the system is in the vicinity of $65 million.
How much?
65, given escalation and so forth. Enterprise Print is a new project. This is a case where we had a number of agencies who were doing printing. Now, I'm talking here about printing warrants and checks, printing postcards and other things that are high-volume mailers. OET had been doing a lot of that printing, but quite frankly, not very economically. And so a project was formed to find a better way to do this printing in an enterprise fashion. So all the agencies came together who are doing printing, and we discovered 2 centers of excellence, one in the DHS and one in Deed, and those have become our centers of excellence for doing enterprise printing. OET is getting out of the business, as are other agencies. So we're in the process, though, we had a couple of kind of lean-related activities. We discovered that some of the mailings that were going out were not as efficient as they could be, and Driver and Vehicle Services, for example, has now reduced the size of their postcards and is therefore saving postage. In fact, they're taking mailers that are now currently stuffed and putting them on postcards. So there are ways in which these mailings are occurring, just as an outgrowth of this particular project at looking at printing, that are resulting in savings. Enterprise Email is actually under the lead of Department of Office of Enterprise Technology. We had 8 separate email systems, and we will soon have 1. The contract has been awarded, and 5 agencies have now migrated to the new email system. The wonders of being able to go into the email system and have a common address book so that I can send an email to anyone in state government and I can actually also create meetings with anyone in state government will be a huge benefit.
We just, at the state government finance meeting, we heard from the OET, and they were talking about that very thing. So that sounds very promising.
And I'd have to say, as one of the early victims, our agency went through the transition and it was seamless. So we're, I think, the first 5 agencies, some of whom had Microsoft previously but some of whom didn't, have generally had a very good experience in their migration to this new system. I just quickly mentioned that there are 5 projects that we consider done, and so we don't any longer report on them, but I think their success is worth noting. I mentioned earlier the IT governance and creation of OET. It's now been in existence for 3 years. Construction codes consolidation happened way early on, and we've almost forgotten about it. The creation of Disability Minnesota, which is a one-stop website shop for people who are interested in services for the disabled. Enterprise workforce planning was a project by which all state agencies were required under a uniform template to come up with a workforce plan, actually know who we're expecting to retire, planning for those retirements, being able to backfill, transferring information from those valuable state employees' heads into those who remain, coming up with plans for what are our needs for the future, what technologies are going to be needed, and so forth. Those plans are now all in place, and they're managed by the Minnesota Management and Budget. Similarly, enterprise training was a project chaired by Joan Fabian, Commissioner Fabian. This took a look at all the ways in which we're doing training in the state, and it's, once again, the same story. 24, 25 agencies all doing sexual harassment training, all doing employee orientation. This brings all of that together under a common enterprise training function that was previously part of the Department of Administration but recently transferred to MMB as part of management analysis. They have plans in the future to actually design common curricula, unified curricula. One of the subjects I know the chair is keen on is the findings of the Office of Legislative Auditor find that we need more training in employee ethics and managing of financial transactions, and that is one of the early products that will come out of that group. All right. I feel like I'm selling Federal Express here. That covers the drive to excellence. It's been a terrific effort, widespread across state government and beyond, and I think the results, while dramatic thus far, will only continue to be more dramatic as we go forward.
You know, one of the things that impresses me about it is this notion of what that, like Senator Bickerman was bringing up, that just because you've improved something by 30% up to this date doesn't mean that you just put it on a shelf and are satisfied with that, but it is a continuous improvement program and projects, and I think that's a really key element in it that makes it so attractive.
Thank you.
Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, Commissioner, I just had a question about some of these. Seems like they go through and then they're completed and some are ongoing. I had a question about the real property management one. A little over half the state's square footage has been entered. At the time that that's done, do you cut back significantly the size of this project because you have at least existing buildings in record, and then you need something, I assume, ongoing?
Yes, Madam Chair and Senator Marty, that's an excellent question. When do we graduate a Drive to Excellence project? We graduate it when it's actually fully part of the culture, when the processes and policies are in place, and the second piece of it is there's governance. There has to be an ongoing governance structure in place. So with OET, clearly that was created, and we now have ongoing governance in the IT world. Training, similarly, that we have a governance structure. Fleet is still a project, for example, because they have yet to wrestle through what is that final governance structure going to look like. Who's really going to manage this fleet? And until they do, we do not graduate the project as having been complete. In the case of real property, we obviously have to get the system implemented, but then something has to exist after that to manage that system and to ensure that good decisions are made across the enterprise. And they have a proposal, and I think, you know, once the system is fully implemented, we will have something that everyone can agree on. And it's not by fiat. It is not simply the governor saying, Department of Administration, this is your baby. It is the team that actually comes together and agrees where is the right home for this particular activity going forward.
Any other comments or questions for the commissioner or her colleagues? Then we will adjourn in a moment. Just to remind members that we do not meet on Wednesday because of the One Minnesota seminar. And then next Monday is the Martin Luther King holiday, so our next meeting will be a week from Wednesday. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you, Madam Chair, for calling the committee and calling the subject and actually the committee's rapt attention. This is something, obviously, we're really, really proud of, and we don't very often get a chance to report on the results, which we think are really, while not dramatic and maybe not all that sexy or newsworthy, we think they're making fundamental change.
I agree. There being no further business before the committee, we stand adjourned.